If you're looking for the place to do your holiday shopping that's not coming in second to anybody, you got to be checking out the 12 Days of Deals on Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob Has a Podcast whenever you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, it's robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's the guy who's tipping the Uber driver an extra 5% from here on out. I'm Rob Cesternino. How you guys doing tonight? It's Amazing Race finale night, and here she is, the woman who is entering an Amazing Race hiatus now after tonight, after this Amazing Race hangover wears off, the great Jessica Leese.
Hello, Rob.
Jessica, happy finale night.
Happy finale night to you, too.
Yes, the big Amazing Race's biggest night. Here we are, and we have newly minted champions of the Amazing Race, and they are reporters.
Yeah, Rob, I'm going to need that remix that guy did for Steven, where he just says winner's edit over a beat a whole bunch of times.
I love that. Jaden James made that.
Yeah, winner's edit. Winner's edit. Winner's edit.
Winners at it. And, you know, we did see this one coming. You know, it was a little on the nose in terms of like, yeah, there was like the little engine that could. They just kept chopping away second. But they said they persevered, and eventually Justin and Diana faltered. And then yada, yada, yada. Adirondack chairs. We have new champions of the Amazing Race in Joey and Kelsey. Congratulations. The puppet master and the puppet mistress.
Puppet mistress?
Puppet mistress?
Okay.
Sure. So there they are. The reporters are here. And congratulations to Joey and Kelsey, the winners of the Amazing Race.
Very exciting.
All right. So we will talk about all that. We'll talk about whether the story is Joey and Kelsey winning or Justin and Diana losing. We'll talk about much, much more here tonight, and we got our chat room open. We've got our hashtag RHAP on Twitter. We're going to take your tweets, take your questions from YouTube, and very exciting stuff here tonight. Jess, how did you watch the finale tonight? Talk us through your process.
I was at home on my couch.
Yes.
Ordered some takeout.
Whoa.
Got some wine. Picked my husband out of the house.
Yeah.
It was a finale party of one. It was kind of the saddest Friday night.
Yeah, why does your husband have to leave?
Because he doesn't have to leave. He left voluntarily. he's having dinner with his parents, and I'm totally happy to let him do that.
Okay. So, Jess, were you excited to see the Amazing Race come to a locale that you are intimately familiar with?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I can see, like, not out in my actual window, because our windows face west, but if you go up to the roof of my building, you can see Randall's Island from there. So we're pretty close. Like, I'm about a mile away from where they were.
Okay. So an exciting leg. Very exciting to see the Amazing Race go out to Long Island, to Belmont Raceway, and ultimately to the Hamptons. And so, Jess, did you think this was a good final leg for the Amazing Race?
I thought, like, from a design standpoint, this was spectacular. Like, this was really one of the better, like, task-wise and organization-wise, I thought this was one of the better final legs we've had.
What is it that you're looking for when you say it's spectacular?
I need to see a leg that's going to give people an opportunity to mix up the order.
Okay.
I don't want to see a bunch of tasks where the first person to show up is always going to be the first person to leave, and I don't want them to just kind of throw one cerebral thing at everybody and call it good.
I kind of felt like that's how it was for the first half of it. And then when we got to the Adirondack chairs and ultimately the flags, I felt like those were the two spots where you really could have either lost ground or made up ground.
Yeah. And we did see a little bit of switching up of the order. So I was happy with that. I looked at the clock at the moment where I thought Kelsey and Joey had it locked up. That was 8:19 PM. So really, there was an outside chance we could have seen that change up. And I think kudos to the editors for kind of making me feel like maybe there was a chance.
Yeah.
But really, there was that point they took the lead and they never gave it up.
So at that point where it looked like Justin and Diana might overtake Joey and Kelsey with the chairs, do you feel like, was that a product of editing, or do you think that that ultimately was that close in the moment?
Well, you could see them in the same frame, and that's always like how you can tell if it's close or not. Like if they keep like cutting back and forth, it could be hours. You don't even know. I don't think it was necessarily like down to like one piece of wood as it was implied, but I do think it was pretty close.
Now, Jess, could you talk through exactly what happened with Justin and Diana in the taxi? So just talk me through it. So I want to make sure that I'm understanding it. So they're in their taxi and they want the taxi driver not to leave. And the taxi driver is wanting an extra $100 on top of the fare, which is closing in on $100.
Yeah, basically, I think what happened was Justin probably tried to negotiate a flat fare with the guy and said, like, if you stick with us all day long, we'll give you $100. And he decides at that point, you know, $100 isn't really enough for me. Like, the meter's probably already going to say $100 by that point. And so he wants more money, because that is kind of like, he's not going to come out ahead here. I think he originally thought he would. And then at that point, he wants to go back on the deal he made, and Justin does not want to honor that deal. And so Justin, despite being a native New Yorker who should know better than to think he can just go out on the street on Randall's Island and hail another cab, Justin lets that guy go.
Now, how much money do you think they have on this leg?
I would say they've probably got several hundred dollars.
Wow.
If they're letting a cab drive them out to Belmont.
Well, talk to me about this. Do you feel like was Justin being prudent in terms of saving some of that cash for at some other point in the final leg when they might have to take a cab? Or do you feel like he was being a little bit of a cheapskate here?
He was being a little bit of a cheapo depot, Rob.
Cheapo depot.
Because when he should know this because he's watched every season three times, but when do they ever ask people to pay for anything other than cabs on the final leg?
Mm-hmm.
Like they're not really going to need that money for anything except getting a good driver. And in fairness, I think any New York City cab driver would have had a big problem with A, going to Randall's Island, and then B, being told, oh yeah, now we have to drive all the way out to Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
So
that could be expensive.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty expensive, and he's not going to get a fare back. It's going to take him an hour. You know, he's on the clock. He's trying to make money. He doesn't come out ahead on a lot of good days.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have a friend who drives a cab, and I understand that there is
a
lot of hustle.
Did they kick you out of it?
No.
Okay.
No, they never kicked me out. My friends don't kick me out of cabs.
Well, Jess, but hold on a second. That if you were on The Amazing Race and the cab driver said to you, you want me to wait here? I want an extra $100. Would you do that? I mean, isn't that literally highway robbery?
It is. Like, that guy was asking for too much money. But I think I could have talked him down.
Mm-hmm.
I could have said, if you get us where we need to go, I will give you all the money I have left, which is something that they frequently do on The Amazing Race.
Yeah. But this was early in the leg, Jess.
This was early in the leg, but I think once you get to Belmont and it says you have to take a helicopter,
mm-hmm.
like I think everybody settled up with their cab driver at Belmont and it says take a helicopter. The helicopter is going to take you where you need to go.
But did it say to go to Belmont and take a helicopter, or did it say go to Belmont? And when you got to Belmont, there was a clue that said take a helicopter.
When you got to Belmont, there was a clue that said take a helicopter. But at that point, you settle up with your cab.
Yeah, but you didn't know that you were going to get on a helicopter. You could have said, you know, then take the cab to, some other point on Long Island.
I think at any point when you're leaving a cab and getting into a helicopter, you're not coming back to where the cab is. So that is where your transaction with the cab ends.
No, I'm just saying, but I don't think at the point where Justin is negotiating with the cab driver, he is not omniscient. He doesn't know that there's a helicopter ride waiting on.
He doesn't, but he knows there's something at the end of his transaction with the cab driver. And he knows that there's going to be a point at which he parts ways with the guy. And if that guy gets him to that point, then, you know, we can talk about additional compensation.
Yeah. So you feel like that this was a very bad job for Justin?
Yeah, it was short-sighted of Justin. I don't know if I would go as far as to say it was a very bad job, but I think his biggest problem was that he didn't get an understanding cab driver that had a lot of patience with being on the race and was trying to make a little extra. Justin wasn't about to let that happen. Justin didn't realize he was in the middle of like the wilderness in New York City. He's not getting another cab.
Right.
They had to basically, it's going to be another like 45 minutes on top of that if they have to get on a bus and go back to the Upper East Side and get a cab from there.
So if I'm reading between the lines, what you're saying is that you can't let a cab driver walk away with you over a dispute over money. So while the $100 was a total ripoff that the cab driver wanted, you've got to negotiate that guy down or ultimately meet his demands because you can't be left without a cab in the final leg of the Amazing Race.
Rob, has anybody ever won the Amazing Race after they abandoned their cab?
It's a fair point. It's a fair point. That's really your lifeline. This guy can be, you know, he can basically hold you up for whatever he wants at that point, and you just have to meet his demands. You do negotiate with somebody who is ripping you off.
Yeah, I don't think you should necessarily let a guy rip you off, but I think this is a design flaw in the Amazing Race, is that a lot of people win this race on the strength of a good cab. And if a cab driver gets lost in the final leg or takes a disliking to you and drives 2 miles an hour, as we saw happen to Brenchel, or, you know, decides he's done for the day and he's getting off shift and just drops you in the middle of nowhere like he did Mike and Rochelle, or, you know, tries to get a little bit more money than was previously negotiated like we saw happen to Justin.
Yeah.
If you don't get a good cab, you can't win. And I think this is something that, obviously, self-driving in the final leg is not a good idea, but there's got to be something else they can do to kind of minimize this random chance factor.
Okay, so then this cab driver, he ultimately did what? Did he leave or he became Joey and Kelsey's cab driver?
He left. Okay. Everybody else's cab was still there at that point. And so Justin and Diana come out and they decide they're going to try to take, you know, someone else's cab. Their cab driver leaves. And I think at that point, Logan and Chris's cab was like, they're going to make me go where and do what now? Yeah, I'm not having that. And he drove off. So when Logan and Chris finished, they didn't have a cab either. There's one cab there. It's Joey and Kelsey's. Logan and Chris try to get in it. And then we get to that point.
Doesn't it seem super weird to you that these cab drivers would have never heard of Belmont Raceway?
Oh, they've heard of it. They just don't want to go there.
Is that what it is? They just pretend.
Yeah.
They're like, I don't
know.
And they're like, check your phone. They're like, I can't. I don't know.
Yeah. Speaking as a longtime veteran of hostile cab drivers, if they don't want to take you somewhere, it doesn't exist.
They never heard of it.
And they're not going to look up how to get there.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. That's a good veteran
move.
I've had
cab drivers pretend they haven't heard of Brooklyn. So,
did your friend who was the cab driver tell you about this trick?
No, my friend who's a cab driver is pretty honest, and she actually doesn't mind driving out into the outer boroughs.
Wow.
So I don't think anybody's ever thrown her for a loop.
Okay. So then let's talk through this cab kerfuffle that happens between Joey and Kelsey and Chris and Logan, which ultimately turned out to be the deciding move of the game. So here we have this cab. Now, how did Joey and Kelsey, when they say, hey, that's our cab, certainly it was the one that took them there, but did they have, other than calling dibs, did they have any legitimate claim to that cab in your mind?
No, at that point, if that cab had taken off, it's like all is fair in love and amazing racing. It's not sporting. It's not nice, but it happens.
Because we've seen certainly, Jess, in previous seasons where, oh, my stuff was in there. You touched my stuff. You took my backpack out of the cab. So this was completely an untainted cab.
Yeah, the rules are if you have stuff in the car, they cannot take the cab because your stuff is in it and you cannot touch anybody else's stuff. If the cab driver happens to touch your stuff and put it somewhere else and let other people in, that's fair.
So Chris and Logan are in this cab. Here comes Joey and Kelsey. They say, hey, that's our cab. Get out of there. What, I mean, was it just that Chris was being a good guy in the moment? Did Joey intimidate them? Why? What happened there, Jess?
Joey intimidated them is what I think happened there. He yelled at them. Like, hey, that's my cab. I'm the puppet master, bitch. And Chris was like, oh, yeah, all right. Okay. He gets out and he will never hear the end of this for the rest of his life.
Yeah. Now, do you think that, and this is a question we'll certainly ask, of course, exit interviews coming on Monday. I wonder if the cab driver is like, yeah, you got to get out. I told them that I would take them.
He could have. That happens sometimes. But I don't think this cab driver, he probably didn't really care. He's like, whatever, these guys are, you know, this TV show is a pain in my butt. They better be paying me. I have to go to Belmont. This sucks.
Yeah.
He's going to Belmont one way or the other. He's kind of locked into that.
Would you say, did Joey go Providence Joey in that moment?
Yeah, he was hulking out.
Yeah. So, wow. I mean, that was really the million-dollar move.
It really was. Like, that was the point at which they had won, I think.
Yeah, because at that point, then Chris and Logan have to end up taking a bus. And then, I mean, if you already aren't feeling bad enough about taking the bus around the city, right, Jess?
Yeah, taking the bus. I mean, I take the bus every day. The bus is all right, but I don't want to be on a bus that's doing laps around Randall's Island.
You don't want to be on the bus if you're in the final leg of the Amazing Race.
Right, right. If it's between being in a bus and being in a cab and it's the final leg of the Amazing Race, nobody wants the bus.
Yeah, and then so those two sad sack teams are riding around the bus. Ultimately, I mean, kudos to the green team for ultimately making it a race again to get to that point where they're at least on the same task. But I mean, they're on the bus against a team that's on a cab. It's like, forget about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was not going to end well. Although, you know, if all three of them had lost their cabs, which was a possibility, like not very many cab drivers are going to be happy about the strange requests they're getting. It was entirely possible they all three could have been in that position where they all have to go back to Manhattan.
Okay. Jess, talk to me about the lobster task. Did you think that that was a good task for the final leg?
Yeah, I like that we're getting a little bit of everything. We're getting some brains and we're getting some brawn. And that lobster task was physically very tasking. And they were getting exhausted. These were heavy things. And, you know, they're out in the water. There's a little bit of skill involved. And then I think the best thing that happened all leg was when Phil said their first memory challenge. And I thought, I like where this is going.
Yeah.
It's not going to come down to one. We're going to do several. We're going to do this in stages. We're going to let you do one to start after you do the like flashy task. You're going to do a memory task. Then you're going to do a physically exhausting thing and have to do another memory task. And now we're going to do something with precision, and then we're going to do another memory task.
Now, do you feel like the memory task translates to the viewers at home? Because on Survivor, they talk a lot about the memory task, and it's sort of like it's a thing where you can play it at home. Are the people at home, are you able to remember the order of the countries and sort of identify the flags? Is it conducive to watching at home?
Yeah, I don't think it translates particularly well, because unless you're sitting there with your finger on the pause button, you're not going to see all of the options. I would like it a little bit better if we got a little bit of a better shot of what they were working with at the beginning of every task. And then you can kind of think about it in terms of like what they're doing wrong. And in some cases, they do a very good job of highlighting exactly what they're doing wrong.
Yeah.
As in the case of where is the flag for Africa?
Yes, the African flag.
Yeah, or they had a helmet that said Rio de Janeiro and they had a helmet that said Brasilia. And you have to know that Rio is not the capital of Brazil.
Yeah. Well, the race did get kind of sneaky with putting in that extra flag on the lobster part, the lobster memorization task.
Yeah, I loved when Justin said, wouldn't it be great if they gave us an extra flag and it was just to mess with people, and Diana holds up the extra flags like, yeah, they did.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, for Logan and Chris, that was really the death blow then.
Yeah, that was... You know, that was where they really fell out of it. And I'm glad we didn't see both teams fall out of it right away. That would have made for a really dull leg.
Jess, how in the world on Amazing Race 27 do Logan and Chris not remember the order or the flags or anything about the order of the places they visited on the Amazing Race?
Well, you know, Chris did all right with the first one, I think. I think they must have known they were going to be called upon to do something involving remembering what order the countries they visited, but I don't think they expected they were going to be called upon to do it twice. And the second time they did it, it was after that one of them had screwed up so royally the other one couldn't stop yelling at them for it for over an hour, and then they had to do something physically exhausting while still yelling at each other. And they get to this point and they're so consumed by the cab thing that they can't think about what they did before and how it relates to what they're doing now.
Yeah. What was going on with Chris and his pants and his shoes, Jess?
Well, it looked like when you got done with the firefighter task, you were wearing the fire pants and the fire boots. And I don't know. Everybody else seemed to have changed out of their fire pants and fire boots, but Chris is still running around in them by the time they get to the helicopter. And he just like leaves his fire pants out in the field.
Is there a penalty for that, for littering, for taking things from one task and just leaving them somewhere?
Well, I remember in season 25, they had to put on those like padded stuntman suits, and Jim got in trouble for not taking it off, and he had to go back and remove it. So
oh.
I thought that was interesting. Like, the FDNY is going to, like, those pants aren't cheap. They're going to be upset.
Yeah. What did you think about when they got in the helicopter and Chris said, I feel like Donald Trump right now? And that's like a whole different connotation to that.
Yeah, I don't think Donald Trump is someone you want to feel like ever.
Yeah. And then Logan with a cheap shot. Say why? Because of the hair?
Why? Because you're obnoxious and you do stupid things.
Oh, come on. Leave. Leave. Let's not get political, Jess.
I'm not getting political.
You're talking about Logan and Chris?
I'm talking about The Apprentice, Rob.
Yes.
I don't know what you're thinking.
Yes. All right. So then when we got to the Adirondack chairs, I thought this was a really tough task for the final leg. It felt like there's a lot of things that could go wrong.
Yeah, it seemed like that judge was really particular.
Yeah.
Jess, you couldn't just throw them up there.
Have you ever put together an Adirondack chair?
No, I've put together my fair share of IKEA furniture.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, this is not even an IKEA furniture. This is like really like you're hammering the wood into the chair on your own.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't even tell if they had a model chair to look at.
No, and then it turns out for the green team, it's like, oh no, these back things are crooked.
Yeah, and that was an interesting thing to me because it seemed like maybe they weren't thinking at first there was precision involved here. And then having to backtrack and take it all apart and put it back together. I thought that was another opportunity where a team that was really, really good at that could have pulled ahead. And Justin and Diana indeed almost did.
Yeah, it really was very, very close. And it turned out, who knew putting together Adirondack chairs was in Diana's wheelhouse?
Yeah, well, maybe she puts together a lot of IKEA furniture.
I guess so, but there's not a lot of hammering with the IKEA furniture.
Yeah, sometimes there is. Like, sometimes you have to have the rubber mallet to, like, pound the pieces into place.
Yeah, sometimes.
I noticed that with our Expedite bookshelf.
Oh, yeah, those are nice.
Those are nice. The best.
We have a lot of those at my house.
Yeah, I miss those. The new ones aren't as good.
Yeah, not as good. All right, well, we'll podcast about that at some other point. great IKEA
furniture. Rob has
furniture.
An IKEA cast.
Sure, sure. Okay, Jess, what else from this final leg?
What else from this final leg? I thought it was interesting. We got a lot of reaction from the other teams at the mat. And I thought that was interesting. There's a little more interaction than we typically get. We haven't gotten that much for a long time. Like, you know, we're cutting to like shocked faces when Logan and Chris say they have to work on their communication. We see Joey borrowing the Mr. T necklace from
funny.
Enoch.
That was pretty funny.
And I also thought it was interesting that we see Justin and Diana talking about their loss hours later because it's dark out by that point. And Justin is still crying about this.
Mm-hmm. It's a tough blow to get over, Jess.
Yeah, if he's going to cry about anything, I guess he's going to cry about this. But it seemed like he was crying for a very long time.
Yeah.
Hope he was drinking water.
All right. Well, let's just try to put this all into context. Let's start with the win from Joey and Kelsey. Jess, could you write the first paragraph of their amazing race wiki page?
All right. Joey and Kelsey, reporters from Santa Barbara, California.
Yes.
One, season 27 of The Amazing Race.
Okay.
Do I get to write this in a literary style or am I writing this like Wikipedia?
Why don't you write it like more of an opinion piece?
All right. Once upon a time.
Yes. Write the newspaper article tomorrow.
That's no fun either, Rob.
Yeah. Okay, well, what would be the most fun way to do it?
Once upon a time, there was a really lovely pair of reporters. They mm-hmm. were very nice people. They were very good looking. And they lived in a magical land of Santa Barbara. And then they went on a magical trip around the world. And they came in second place a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They continued to win the silver medal on every single competition for weeks and weeks in a row until the very end when they yelled at the right people and put together the right furniture and pulled ahead to win the only leg that matters and $1 million. And they became the king and queen of the Amazing Race 27, and they lived happily ever after.
Yeah, such a fairy tale of that. Always the bridesmaid, always the bridesmaid, always the bridesmaid. Finally, the bride in the final leg.
Yep, they're like 27 dresses, the TV show.
I think we got our hashtag for tonight. well done. Yes. Yeah. So does that make Kelsey the Katherine Heigl?
Yes. Yes. And Joey is whatever that dude
the
was.
The guy from Enchanted. Yeah.
Yeah. I, you know, that movie is on sometimes, and I think I'm in the room when it's on, but I would not say I've ever watched it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I wouldn't say I ever watched it either.
Okay.
All right. And now let's talk about on the other end of the spectrum. If we're going to write the legacy of Justin and Diana, how does that go, Jess?
I think Justin and Diana were set up as the villains, I think, throughout the entirety of the race. It was more like everybody was not in a race to win $1 million. They were in a race to beat Justin and Diana. So I think this was really the story. And like you alluded to at the very beginning of this podcast, this is the story of how the reporters beat the green team and not the story of how the reporters won the amazing race.
Yeah. So ultimately, yeah, their prize is just beating Justin and Diana, and the $1 million is almost secondary.
Pretty much.
Wow. They conquered adversity.
The true prize is that they defeated the green team.
Yeah. Is for Justin and Diana, the true prize for them, ultimately, a birth into an all-star season of the Amazing Race.
Yeah, I would imagine that they are going to get the call.
They are at the top of a short list right now of teams to return for an all-star season.
Yeah, I mean, this was a fantastic cast. You could see several of these teams coming back. But I have to think they're going to call Justin and Diana, because that is some seriously unfinished business.
Because I'm not sure if we'll ever get to another Amazing Race all-star season, but if we did, you have to think Justin and Diana are number one with a bullet.
Never say never, Rob.
I'm not saying never. I'm saying I'm not sure if we're going back in that direction at any point, considering that the last all-star season of the Amazing Race was a bit of a disappointment. That being said,
that's an understatement.
Yes. If we did, you'd have to think the green team is the number one draft pick on the board.
Yes, yes. 5 years from now, at the responsible and appropriate time when the Amazing Race decides to cast another all-star season, at the point when they realize they have enough good people to do it, they will call Justin and Diana.
Yes. But if there's room after we bring back most of the social media teams.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those seasons where it's like 8 social media teams and Justin and Diana and like the cheerleaders.
So then, in terms of Justin and Diana winning 7 legs of the Amazing Race, heading into with 2 to play, would you say, is this one of the worst Amazing Race chokes?
Yeah, I don't know. I've seen some bad chokes, and I think there have been some really awful defeats. Like, I would say whenever you're so far behind that even Phil can't come to get you, and you just open your clue and it's like the race is over. Good luck getting home, suckers.
But after having so much success, I mean, they were on this historic pace. I mean, they're sort of like this, almost like this 14-2 team coming into the playoffs who ultimately doesn't win the championship.
Yeah. Are they kind of the Mets?
Well, the Mets did not have this great regular season record. And the Mets were more of the team that gets hot towards the end, maybe sort of like the Logan and Chris who came out of nowhere to be in a great position going into the final leg.
Okay. All right. I think that's appropriate.
Okay. And ultimately, we haven't spoken much about Logan and Chris tonight. What is their legacy?
I think their legacy is, you know, we cast this team every season. They're the team that yells at each other. They're the Haley and Blair. We have a yelling at each other team every season, and they were this one. And they figured out the race maybe a little bit too late, and they couldn't quite pull it together in enough time to, you know, they didn't figure out what they were doing in time to really be contenders.
Do you see Logan and Chris as potential Amazing Race All-Stars?
You know, I think some people might have to decline first. I think there are yelling couples that Amazing Race is going to go after first. Like, their niche is pretty stacked in favor of, like, people that you'd want to have back. But, you know, if Haley and Blair don't say yes, maybe they've got a shot.
Yeah. Could there be an Amazing Race Rivals season where we talked about so much with Survivor of the idea of Survivor Rivals, sort of like a bizarro blood versus water where you come back with not your loved one, but your hated one? Could potentially we have a season where there are pairs of teams that fought?
You know, I like the concept, but it would have to be, you'd have to get the exact right combination, which I think is the reason Survivor's never done it, because Survivor always winds up having to, like, shoehorn one or two people in to fit their theme. Like, Danielle DiLorenzo is a villain. Okay, I guess. So I think if they got exactly the right pair of five heroes and five villains, the other problem is Amazing Race usually starts with 11 teams. So who's that 11th team?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe a team that is two people that hated each other.
Yeah, or maybe it's like the cheerleaders and Team Texas and Justin and Diana.
Yeah. Okay. And maybe it's just like Blair and Haley.
Yeah, maybe it is. Like, maybe it's Blair and Haley are the rivals.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Before we get into our questions here tonight, let me just take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are friends over at True Car. And now the beauty of having a brand new car is that you don't have to rely on these cab drivers that want to just gouge you at every chance they can. You know, of course, though, you do want to make sure you're getting a good deal on this new car. And that's why TrueCar.com or the True Car mobile app is the way to go, because you can pick out all of the features you want and see exactly what the best price is for said car down to the zip code. Jess, it's easier than putting together an Adirondack chair.
Well, that's a kind of a low bar there, Rob.
Yes. What would be the, it's easier than what? Than
pulling in a lobster trap. Well,
that's also difficult.
But that whatever, is also difficult.
Come up with whatever easy task you want for the Amazing Race season, because it would be easier than that task.
Yep. Easier than almost anything you can think of.
You'd have no hassles, no headaches. And best of all, True Car users have saved an average of over $3,000 off the MSRP. It's how car buying was always meant to be. Over 2 million cars have been sold by the True Car Certified Dealer Network. And there are over 10,000 dealers in that True Car Certified Dealer Network. You'll work directly with one of those dealers when you visit TrueCar.com or download the True Car app and start saving. True Car, never overpay. Jess, you ready to look at some of these questions?
Yes, please.
All right, here we go. Let's fire up the questions here from tonight from our Amazing Race finale. And this is from ID Institute, who says, I feel like the reporters would have been so much more likable had their second place arc not been so forced down our throats.
Well, I feel like I'm kind of partially responsible for that, because I really haven't shut up about the second place thing for weeks and weeks. Like, I think since they started that hot streak of second places, I feel like maybe if I hadn't kept pointing it out, you guys might be a little happier with it. But yeah, it did feel very telegraphed to me. It felt like from that point forward, it's like, oh, this is the team. Like, beginning of every single leg, we got the second place, we want the first place. We got the second place, we want the first place. Over and over and over, that's going to pay off. I think it would have been funnier if they'd gotten second place in the final leg, but, you know, 'twas not to be. Like, the narrative we were getting was we got second place again, we're eventually going to get first place.
Yeah.
The final leg is the only leg that matters.
It was, you know, kind of obvious on, I mean, if you're somebody who's, you know, even remotely familiar with how the Amazing Race gets edited, it did seem like this was a pretty open and shut case.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, like, two legs ago, someone made the fair point that it could be like, they keep saying second place, second place, second place. Maybe their story is they get first place at, like, the final four and then they go home and that's it. Yeah. But that could be it. That was actually the case with a similar team on Amazing Race Canada this summer. We had this pair of pro wrestlers named Nick and Matt who kept coming in third place, like, five legs in a row. And they said, we just want one win. And they got their one win and then they came in third place at the end.
They did it.
They did it.
Okay. This is from a Juror Survivor fan. How can the Amazing Race improve on the underwhelming memory tasks? They were both just, hey, remember where you traveled, plus some general knowledge.
Yeah, that's true. I liked the ones, like, I think season 12 had a very good memory task. I think that one was like memory task plus logic puzzle. It had like a list of like, you can only have a certain number of each type of thing, and you have to have something that represents every leg. And they had like live animals and sporting goods and all kinds of weird stuff. And I loved that. I liked that there was a little bit, like, there was another level of thinking to it.
I like the stuff about when we saw things at the mat also.
Yeah. Yeah, I like those too, but I think you can only do those a few times before it just becomes everybody like tinfoil hatting about animals.
What if there was just like a bunch of stuff at the mat every time, like a Where's Waldo?
Yeah, like what if you had like just like a big table full of objects and yeah. Then at the end it's like, okay, here's like 1,000 objects, find the ones that...
And then like always there was like an animal, like basically like every pit stop could be like its own sort of like sideshow.
Yeah. Yeah. Like get like a whole, you know, sometimes they have like a whole circus set up behind them. Mm-hmm. Like there's like a whole band and there's dancers and then like the entire town shows up. Yeah, let's do that every leg.
Like there's a song playing. There's a lot of different things to remember.
Right.
I like it. Okay, let's keep going. And this is from Keith Dixon, who says, did they purposely have the finish line where the only way they could get there was on a skinny bridge? No race to the finish.
That's a good point. But I think at this point, we've only had a foot race to the finish like twice. So I think they're kind of banking on there's not going to be one. We'd rather have that great aerial shot of them, like, you know, getting to the home stretch.
Now, wouldn't that be the best if somebody got knocked off the bridge?
Oh, yeah, it'd be fantastic. That actually happened, not at the finish line, but at one of the pit stops in, I think, season 15. Like, there was a little bridge you had to cross over, and the Globetrotters ran into these two brothers and knocked one of them into the water, and it was a big thing.
Yeah, I think that would be very exciting TV. Nick Sonis wants to know, hailing a cab on Randall's Island isn't easy. Classic five-hole from Justin from the Bronx. Bop, 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 bop.
Not a five-hole.
Not a five-hole.
Not a five-hole. Five-hole is when you do something for a living and a task comes up on The Amazing Race that is tangentially related to what you do for a living, and then you utterly fail at that task despite it being related to something you do every day.
So what is this?
This is the hometown curse, I think.
Hometown curse.
Like, we've talked about the hometown curse before, and I think more often than not it helps you when the race is in your hometown. I don't know that it would have helped Justin that much. It's kind of like if you're from Boston and the final leg is in Springfield. Basically, it's like the hometown curse goes back to season one when you had Frank and Margarita, who were from Queens. They lived in Queens, and the final leg was all in Queens. And they thought they knew the streets better than the cab driver and gave the cab driver this very specific route and ended up like, Robin Brennan's cab driver went somewhere that was far more direct and far less trafficy, and they ended up taking the lead and winning out from under two people that thought they knew better.
Mm-hmm. It'll happen.
It'll happen.
Yeah, hometown curse. That's a thing. All right. Mr. Air Sonic says, so Justin and Diana are probably locks for All-Star / Unfinished Business. Any other candidates? I would say pretty much anyone from the six.
Yeah, I think this was a really strong cast.
Well, Joey and Kelsey, they're out in terms of
they're retired.
They retired. Have fun.
Rest on your laurels.
Yeah. Go. There'll be, anchoring. Anchors away.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. Then let's back it up. Cheerleaders. You think they're in the mix?
Cheerleaders are a lock to be asked back.
Wow.
Because female teams, very hard to cast on returning seasons. They're at a premium.
Boy, Jess, I got to say also that I didn't mention at the top of the show, but they were great on their exit interview.
They really were.
Knocked it out of the park.
Dropped some like very podcasty references in, made it clear they were happy to be there, and really dropped some great information on you, I thought.
I thought it was probably the strongest exit interview of the season. But we had a lot to talk about, from coming off of that episode.
And it didn't hurt that you could hear them, which is not
good
historically
connections,
true.
And that's not always the case on these Amazing Race exit interviews. We'll see what happens on Monday. Then Mother Boy,
I think... Parent-child teams also kind of hard to cast, and they were pretty memorable.
Yeah.
And so I think they'd be in the mix. I don't know that they'd be locks to be asked back, but I think it's high probability that they get on the board at some point.
Yeah, and Dave and Connor already won, so they take them out of the mix.
Yeah, Dave and Connor are never coming.
It was a blind date season. We didn't have any parent-kid teams.
Parent-kid blind date would be a fun season, though.
Yeah. It's just a random kid. It's like adoption.
Yeah, it's like... you get paired with like a random person old enough to be your parent.
Okay. All right. Let's go with that. Okay. And then who else was in this? Who was out at six?
We had Team Texas.
Team Texas.
We had Logan and Chris. Yeah. We haven't talked about either of them.
I feel like we got a lot of Team Texas type teams.
Yeah. I think we do get a lot of Team Texas type teams. And I think in the context of like, if they want to bring them back to have the rivalry, they would do that. But otherwise, I don't think they wouldn't be the first ones on the board.
Okay. Mike Bloom, who was great on the Survivor voicemails, it's overshadowed by Boston Rob, but Mike Bloom was great too, was the taxi scuffle. I called it the cap kerfuffle, the most exciting thing to happen in a finale since the foot race in season two.
That sounds like a detour. Are you going to choose taxi scuffle or cab kerfuffle?
Yeah.
Yeah, people in the chat room were saying kerfuffle's too
hard to
spell.
I believe it should be taxi tussle or cab kerfuffle.
All right, I can go with that. So what was the question?
Most exciting finale moments in season two.
Yeah, finale moments, generally few and far between. I thought this was a pretty good one.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was good. Certainly memorable.
Yes, definitely memorable.
Okay. So most memorable since season two?
That's a lot of seasons in there.
A lot of seasons in there. Okay. This is from N Pleasant. Could this season go down with 3, 11, and 19 as the best amazing race season of all time? Is this a top four amazing race season for you, Jess?
Okay, for starters, I don't think I'd have any of those seasons in my top five. I like this person talking like it is a foregone conclusion that these are the four best seasons ever. Like it is commonly accepted that these are like the Pearl Island of Amazing Race. Not necessarily true. I think it's very objective. I think it's very subjective. I think there are a lot of criteria to consider. I don't even know if I have a top five, but I think this was probably a top 50th percentile season. I think we had a great route.
Top half.
Yeah, top half. We have a great route, great cast. I thought it was a lot of fun. I would definitely say it is one of the better seasons. Certainly one of the better ones we've had. Maybe the best one we've had since 23.
Better than 25? I feel like that 25 we usually talk about as the best season that we've covered.
25 was pretty good, but I would give the edge, like cast-wise, I think 27 was a slightly stronger cast.
I feel like you're sleeping on 25 a little bit.
Maybe. We had fun with 25.
Why? Because Whitney and Keith were on it? That's why it's down in your rankings?
Rob, you know, maybe my perception of season 25 is colored a little bit by some negative experiences I had with people telling Whitney and Keith that I hated them. And this cast has been nothing but delightful from start to finish when it comes to reacting with Rob Has a Podcast. And maybe that's just my primary criteria. But okay, 25 was a great cast. 27 was also a great cast.
Okay.
I think they're both very good. I think we are getting into like reverse Star Trek movie syndrome here, where all of the odd numbered seasons are very good and the even number seasons may be a little weaker.
Speaking of even numbered seasons, did you catch any of the preview for season 28?
I did. And I have to admit the preview didn't look great. Like I think I would probably be really excited about the preview if, you know, if I knew who any of these people were.
Well, you don't know who any of them are in any given season.
Yeah, I know. But they were talking to me like I should know. And I felt very talked down to. And I think once we get past this conceit that they are all like social media tastemakers and whatnot, I think it's going to be a good season. Like I have a few insider sources on this, Rob.
Wow.
Like I'm not spoiled at all, but I know where they're going. And I also know that they are, by and large, bigger fans of the show than they may have let on.
Okay. Like,
these people are all very enthusiastic. They're very excited to be out there. They had a great time on the race. And I think that's going to show. So I'm cautiously optimistic about this. Plus, the route that they took is amazing. It's like the best one in years. And I'm really super excited to see what they do with it.
Okay. All right, so that's all coming up. We will begin our Amazing Race 28 preview coming in February.
Coming in February.
Yes. Oh, my God. And the Amazing Race premieres. Oh, is that going to premiere the same night as Survivor?
No, it doesn't. It premieres, I think, the Friday before.
Okay. So it's before. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
so
what's
that going to be? The February 12th premiere?
Yeah, I think it is. I think we celebrate Lincoln's birthday.
Yeah, celebrate Lincoln's birthday as Lincoln would have wanted it to be.
Yeah, he really, I think Lincoln would have really responded to The Amazing Race.
You know, Lincoln was the first mogul.
Was he now?
Yes. I mean, they said Gettysburg Address, that was like the first blog.
That's true. It was like a tweet. It was like the tweet of presidential speeches.
Yeah. Leah Cupcake says, I thought Kelsey said they didn't pay the cab driver yet. Would that impact The Amazing Race rules? What's going on there, Jess?
Well, you're not allowed to check in. I think Kelsey and Joey's point was they hadn't settled up with their cab driver at the point that they were having this scuffle. And you can do that. Like, if you're going to steal a cab and the other people haven't settled up yet, you can just say to the cab driver, we will pay you for everything. Like, we'll pay you for, like, you taking Kelsey and Joey from the airport to here and then for taking us from here to wherever. But I think that was their point. Like, we haven't closed out our tab yet, so you can't start drinking on our tab.
Next season, will the racers be able to pay cab drivers in retweets?
I would, if I was a cab driver, I would not accept that bargain.
What if you were the owner of the cab company and a retweet could have really helped your business?
Does social media really help out cab services?
What if the social media mogul said, I will tell all my followers to leave you 5-star reviews on Yelp.
I don't know how much that would help.
It might help
in like small business owners might appreciate that. Like, depends on the cab company, I guess.
Yes, I think so. I mean, if any of the moguls said, Rob, I'll tell all of my social media followers to leave you 5-star reviews on iTunes, I would totally chill out all next season.
Rob, would you give them free things in exchange for 2 earbud reviews?
No, I would not. Jeremiah Yap said, did having 3 memory tests in the final leg make up for the teams having to not drive all season? That really bothered some people. I've seen this a lot on Twitter.
Yeah, people really missed those Ford endorsements.
Yeah.
And I think I do like it when they have to self-drive. One of the things that they've done, at least in earlier legs, in earlier seasons, they had this situation where, like, you would get into a car with a driver and he would go wherever you told him to, but you were not allowed to drive the car yourself.
Hmm.
I thought that was an interesting way to like get around like people violating traffic laws, but also, you know, not, you know, I think the insurance premiums are a little bit lower in that case. And it also, you don't have necessarily a cab that's going to like try to run up your meter or in places where you don't have cabs. You know.
Okay. Let's do some more questions here with Jess. Nick Sonas. How did Justin know the words to Phil's speech ahead of time? 5 continents, 10 countries, 34,000 miles, etc.
How do you think Justin knew the words
to
that?
Well, here's the thing. It's easy enough to count the continents. It's easy enough to count the countries. The 34,000 miles, that seems impressive.
It's a little impressive, but he could have just taken like an average of like every race they've ever done. Or he could have been keeping like relative track in his head.
Or he could read the cue card.
He could read the cue card.
I don't think Phil has a cue card.
Phil might have a cue card.
Is it possible that if he can?
Yeah.
Hold on. If Phil has a cue card, then that's kind of a jerk move by Justin to be reading off Phil's cue card.
It is. This is the most important thing that you need to ask the green team when you interview them on Monday. Let me down on this.
How do they know it was 34,000 miles, or does Phil have a cue card?
Yes, does Phil have a cue card? That is something you need to learn on Monday.
Because, right, wouldn't that be in any sort of, like, you know, professional, like, broadcast, like, the reporters wouldn't stand for that. They should have, Joey should have punched Justin if that was the case, if he was reading somebody else's line on the cue card.
Yeah. I mean, they take their teleprompters very seriously.
Very unprofessional.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, then Matthew says, during the offseason, does Jess want to have a mock second chance poll with Dan Heaton?
Well, I'm not going to spoil any specifics, but we are talking about doing a little bit of supplementary Amazing Race content in the offseason. And I know there's going to be at least one Amazing Race podcast that hits your ears between now and February.
Jess, do you think that that's something the Amazing Race would ever turn to, a Survivor-style vote to vote teams back into the Amazing Race?
You know, that would be really interesting. I'd be into that. And I think it's worked very, very well for Survivor. I think the bigger problem Amazing Race has is that with Survivor, almost everybody is eager to come back. They're very excited. They all want another chance. With Amazing Race, you have a couple more layers of complexity. You have people, some people aren't necessarily still on good speaking terms with their race partner. Other people, you know, they've moved on with their lives. They can't, like, both leave their tiny kids behind. You know, we can't ask Chack Attack back because, newsflash, they're also expecting a baby.
What?
Yeah, baby Chack due this spring.
Wow.
Congratulations to them. If you asked them back right now, they couldn't do it.
OMG.
That was appropriate. Yeah. Very appropriate. So, you know, Amazing Race partners don't always, like, one of them wants to do it, the other one doesn't. And I think it's a lot harder to say we've got 30 good Amazing Race teams and we want you to vote in, or, you know, we've got 15 good Amazing Race teams, we want you to vote in 11 of them. I think that's harder to do. And I think that's one of the reasons that we always have duds on our all-star cast.
I'd be very surprised if we did a vote in for the Amazing Race cast.
Yeah. I think they also assume that not enough people care. They're not getting 10 million votes.
One last question, then we'll put a bow on all this. Juror Survivor fan, who won the crying battle this year? At Justin Classic One or Stephen Fishback? I really enjoyed both. Two people who really wanted it bad.
Two people that know it all.
Or claim to.
And cried it all out of their faces.
Yes. Who won? Who is the best crier?
We, the viewers, won that competition.
Yeah. Will Justin read any poems for soon?
I don't know that Justin's got the Gerard Manley Hopkins chops.
Oh, but he can rap.
He can rap.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see. See if we can get him to recite any poetry on Monday.
Jess, what was the highlight of this season for you? When you think back to Amazing Race 27, what's the one iconic image that you will think of?
I think my favorite mental image, this is kind of not the same question here, but I think my favorite mental image was of all the teams trying to rap in French. Like, especially like Joey with his hat on backwards, like trying to be hip hoppy, and Denise really not getting what it meant to rap.
Yeah.
Like, that was a really fantastic task.
Yeah.
And I think I will also remember walking with lions and walking with the basket on your head.
Yeah.
Like, those were pretty good too.
Okay. Good times all around, Amazing Race 27.
Yes. Very good times all around.
Okay. Jess, very sad to say, that's it for the Amazing Race 27. Until
that's
we get to our exit interviews on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, we still got that to look forward to.
Yeah, that should be very fun. Always a good podcast when we talk to the final three teams. We'll have that coming up hopefully by midday, later into the evening on Monday. So that's very exciting. Kicking off our finale week, where we will get to the Survivor finale, where we will get to Survivor exit interviews, all that good stuff coming up next week on Robin's Podcast. Jess, what is the hashtag for our final Amazing Race podcast of the season?
I like Providence Joey.
Providence Joey came out. That is a deep cut RHAP reference for our Amazing Race fans.
Yeah, I think people will like that.
Yeah, people are also rooting for Cab Kerfuffle.
Yeah, but I had a couple of people complain they didn't know how to spell kerfuffle. So people know how to spell Providence Joey.
That is tricky to spell kerfuffle. I don't think I could do it either.
Yeah.
All right.
Some people do. Some people are very good at it.
All right. Follow Jessica Lise on Twitter. She's at Haymaker Hattie. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, you really should.
She's very witty.
Yep. Live tweet Survivor and the Amazing Race. It's a good time.
It's a good time. Of course, I'm at Rob Sestrino. Be sure to stay tuned for our Amazing Race exit interviews by subscribing to the podcast. Go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. You can get the Rob as a Podcast app, of course, which is fantastic for a number of reasons. One, you'll get to easily follow all of our coverage on reality TV for Hap Ups, where Jessica does so much great Amazing Race content. Specifically in the off season. You don't want to miss that. You can also subscribe to Reality TV Rehap Ups at robisawebsite.com/rehapups or by searching for it in the iTunes store. Plus, you get everything going on post-show recaps where we have all of our scripted TV podcasts as well. All right?
So much content.
So much
great stuff.
So much great stuff. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for your support of our Amazing Race podcast again this season. It was a pleasure, Jessica, to come on every Friday and talk with you.
Pleasure was all mine, Rob.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We've done it so many seasons now, but it's always a treat. Thanks, everybody, who stuck with us all season long. We always appreciate it and looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments of robhasawebsite.com. Have a great night, everybody, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care.